to our friend Claudette Hoate in the Parliamentary Press Gallery in Wellington. As always, a warm welcome to you on the first day of a new week, sister. Tēnā koe and hoki mai rā te tohine. Kia ora, Claudette.
Well, talking about Australia, they've backtracked on it's their earlier commitment to ease up on deportations of New Zealanders under Section 501. The Prime Minister, Christopher Luxon, said he'd raised concerns about the issue with Australian Prime Minister Albanese previously, as had Foreign Minister Winston Peters with his Aussie counterpart, Andrew Giles. Remember, under Labor's government, Jacinda Ardern had convinced Albanese to retain those convicted on crimes if they had left New Zealand at an earlier age. But now that the government has changed, well, our government's changed, Australia has done a flip-flop. Here's a disappointed Prime Minister, Christopher Luxon.
We regret the decision that Australia has made. From my point of view, I've raised it with Prime Minister Albanese. I know our Foreign Minister has raised it also with the Immigration Minister. Again, it's just not right that we think that people have no connection to New Zealand are deported to New Zealand. It's just new news about the new ministerial direction. We need to make sure and monitor how that gets implemented going forward. Prime Minister Albanese has also assured me there will continue to be a common sense approach will apply. And so a lot of this will be about the interpretation of the directive and the execution of the directive.
So Labour leader Chris Hipkins, he agrees with Luxon. He very rarely agrees with Prime Minister Luxon. He says he too is very disappointed. So I said it was about staying in Australia if you've committed a crime, if you're a New Zealander and have left here at a very young age. Well, what it is really is that New Zealand's argument against 501 deportations has not been about the criminality so much. However, it's been about the appropriateness of sending someone to a country they've never lived in for decades and have no connection to. So our government has long argued that the deportees, many of whom grew up in Aussie, committed their crimes in Australia, should not be our responsibility. So here's Chris Hipkins.
New Zealand didn't make them into criminal offenders, Australia did. And so I think Australia deporting them to New Zealand is unjust. It's unjust for the people concerned and for their relatives, but it's unjust for New Zealand. We shouldn't have to shoulder that burden when we did not have any role in creating it.
Now, we've got to remember that many of those 501 deportees are our whānau. We also know that many of those 501s waiting for deportation or even waiting to be sentenced are incarcerated in Australia. So it's a big issue for us, not just because they are being deported, but because of the conditions in which they are being incarcerated in Australia. Now, the Prime Minister, Christopher Luxon, his plane is busted, and it busted down in Papua New Guinea. He and a delegation of 30 business people, some of those are our whānau Māori from Māori organisations, and also a large group of my mates, journalists from out of the press gallery at Parliament. They were on their way to Japan for trade talks. Prime Minister said he was only... The Prime Minister was supposed to be in Port Moresby for about an hour and a half. That was just yesterday, while the Defence Force Boeing 757 was refuelled. But they found that two fuses had blown, so our Prime Minister had to catch a commercial flight instead. And now this plane is always breaking down. On board, as well as those business delegates and journalists, was our Trade Minister, Todd McKay. Here he is here.
Well, the Air Force has identified the fault and the plane is able to fly, but not all the way to Tokyo as a result of the amount of fuel and weight, the restrictions it would have.
That plane is always breaking down. Now, before the Prime Minister, Christopher Luxon, went away, I managed to speak to him to get a response on the overwhelming opposition to the repeal of Māori wards at local council level. Now, Parliamentary Party, I had done quite an extensive coverage of the submissions on that bill, but here's me and the Prime Minister.
speak to the Select Committee of Māori Wards. Overwhelming opposition by local councils to the Māori Wards Bill. There are several issues raised by them is that central government has overreached their duties. Also too, no obligation to Te Tiriti in this bill, which breaches equity and fairness of community-interested community groups. So what do you make of the overwhelming objection of local councils to the bill?
Well, all I'd say is that all we're doing here is that you know that we were a party that opposed it when it was first introduced under the previous government. All we're doing is reverting the legislation back to the environment, to what it was before the last changes were made by the previous government. The key thing is that these are decisions ultimately for local councils and for local communities to make, and that's all we're doing, is just making sure that in the spirit of local democracy, local communities, that they are empowered to make those calls.
Local councils say that they did go to their communities and this is where they've ended up. And now you're asking them to go back to the communities to run a poll that for some like Porta Whenua will cost $60,000, some like Wellington City Council will cost $100,000. That's on top of the local elections that they will run as well.
Well, so I just say to you that we're doing it in conjunction with the local government elections for that reason, to minimise the cost associated with it. They're not doing it ad hoc or individually or off cycle. They're doing it as part of the local government election cycle for that very reason. These are decisions for local communities to make, not to have imposed on them from Wellington.
So and the local councils who are the representatives of their local people, are you saying when they come to the Select Committee and they say they've been to their communities, are you saying that they're lying?
We're saying we need to have a mechanism in place.
That bill is back in the House at the end of the month, in fact in a couple of weeks. And finally, Parimata Pātai on Radio Wāwhi this afternoon at 6:30. Tonight we get a drill down on the motivation behind Ngāti Rua Mākoe from Whangaroa Te Tai Tukero, their fast track approvals bill, their submission to the Environment Select Committee. Here's Francis Galton for Ngāti Rua Mākoe.
You're located near two identified mining sites. Where are these and what do they have in them? What's the mineral that they're trying to extricate?
I understand there's some lithium in there that they want. You know, our position on this mining, if there's some gold in there, if whatever's in there, as long as it remains in there, that's our gold mine. It does not have to be extracted. And nor will we accept that an extraction method that might mean the cave-in or the loss of our moanga, that none of that is acceptable to us.
Yeah, there's lithium in them thar hells. That's Panamata Pātai tonight at 6:30.
Tēnā koe. Thanks very much, Claudette, for your reports from Wellington. Looking forward to another conversation Wednesday morning. Ngā mihi, have a good day.
Ngā mihi.
Tēnā koe. Claudette Hawiti from the Parliamentary Press Gallery in Wellington, 7:30.